for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, ZIP 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape number 2 with Colonel Steve Wilson. I'm speaking on Russia, the United States, and Israel in prophecy. Sunday afternoon, December 28, 1980, at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I've never written about those earthquakes and shaking and giant hailstones that come to in a minute, and they're all in Revelation 16:12, as the opening of the 6th seal. And now it's verse 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all of my mountains, saith the Lord God, and every man's sword shall be against his brother. That's very interesting. You find in Isaiah 19, I think it's 2 somewhere on in there, that Egyptian will fight Egyptian. Well, you know, that's been going on in Syria and Lebanon and other quite a while. And it's happened in the Bible before they fell upon each other. But we'd also have to recognize the fact that the Arabs and the people that populate Israel are also brothers. They're both sons of Abraham. One to Ishmael was to Isaac. Now, this is interesting. Being a military man, this strikes me as God's tactics and how he understood our present day equipment. And this begins in verse 22. And I will plead against him with a pestilence and with blood. Apparently, some of the men will have internal hemorrhaging. And I will rain upon him and upon all his bands, all of his allies, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain. This is almost hilarious. Can you imagine the poor Russian aerologist, the weatherman, tells him before this big invasion, says, man, this is a real good one. It's going to be clear skies out there in the desert. Well, that's the reason it's a desert. It never rains out there. So he's pretty safe. He'd probably be checking that. Not that it made any difference. Now, all of these great tanks are just great for desert warfare. Do you throw some rain in there? We found in Korea and again in Vietnam when we had some younger Marines. But if you run a tank off into a wet riverbed, you lost the tank. It's called quicksand. And tanks and saturated sand mix beautifully. Blub, 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 and you lost the tank. And you don't go try to pull it out or you lose another tank. You got to wait till the battle's over and then get a retriever in there. So, and I'm not telling about a dog. But anyway, so here they go with all their big prime movers, their 175 howitzers and all of that, and their long-range rifles and all those that take big prime movers to pull them and their tanks. And they get them out there in the desert and God hit them with an overflowing rain. Now, an overflowing rain would say down in Alabama, that's a frog strangler, boy. It really hit them. A frog strangler. And it's really an overflowing rain. Now, I want to point out something, that we don't control the rain, and neither does Israel. Now, he's got them all bogged down. Look what he does. He hits them with great hailstones. Revelation 16:21 says those hailstones weigh somewhere between 50 and 100 pounds each. That's your Federal headache number one. A good fan of the Marine Corps, that'll bend your old tan hat. You might cook in it, but you'll never bathe in it again. But anyway, now it's beautiful. All fire control systems in a modern army are radar controlled. And all those real delicate little radar antenna are flapping around in, you guessed it, a fiberglass housing. And a 50-pound hailstone will just mix that fiberglass up beautifully. And it'll also bend that little radar antenna in there, and everything will work. So he's got them all bogged down, and their fire control systems are knocked out. They can't fire any thermonuclear tactical weapons, if they have a flame. But as if that wasn't enough, he hit them with fire and brimstone. That's the same stuff he hit Sodom and Gomorrah with, Genesis 19:24. And I searched the scripture over there and didn't say he used it all. He probably has some more. Somebody says, oh, that's the United States and thermonuclear weapons. Well, did the United States control the overflowing rain of the hailstones? Mm-hmm. The United States didn't have the fire and brimstone the day of Sodom and Gomorrah either. God's not going to let man get credit for any of this. God's going to destroy the Antichrist army of the Russians. And he's going to do it himself. I'd rather do it myself, he said. And some of you know that, well, I won't get it. But anyway, now what did God say he was going to do? He said he was going to sanctify himself. He said that up here in verse 16. In the days of this prophet, how did God sanctify himself? With a burnt offering. So now he's got one. It's called Gog and Magog and all of his bunch. He's got a burnt offering out there. Thus I will magnify myself, and I'll sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations. It's going to be on satellite television. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I want to bring it up right now. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is only mentioned one time in Revelation 16:16. So you know it's a little shaky when it only appears one time in the whole New Testament. Only referred to. If it was a big battle, it'd be referred to many times. When we find out on page 50 of Young's Concordance that in the Hebrew, it's translated, which is translated Armageddon in Revelation 16:16, is the same word that's in 2 Chronicles 35:22, and literally means the hill of Megiddo. Now, Megiddo is about 200 miles north of where this battle actually takes place, and it talks about a valley filled with blood. Well, Megiddo is on a great plain. There's no valley up at Megiddo. In fact, I am convinced, in fact, this is the Battle of Jehoshaphat. And you'll give you Joel 3rd chapter, verse 2 and verse 12, and probably some other places. And it's a valley to the east of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. I am convinced that the Battle of Armageddon is kingdom against kingdom that the Lord referred to in Matthew 24:7. The kingdom of God against the kingdom of the devil, and we know how that one turns out. So we don't have to worry about it. So, don't get that. Gog and Magog that's mentioned in Revelation is not necessarily territorial at all. There's no Meshach and Tubal and all that's not even mentioned in Revelation. So it would be ungodly rulers and ungodly rulers and the descendants of ungodly rulers. Just so you don't get confused a little later on when you hear all these people hollering about the Battle of Armageddon coming up. Now it's a spiritual conflict, and they only have two mentions of Armageddon anywhere in the whole Bible. Once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, the spiritual context. Now let's go real quickly. Chapter 39. Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, I'm against thee. I just thought a bunch of they figured that out. Don't you think they thought of somebody up there don't like them? I am against thee, O God, the chief sent to Meshach and Tubal, and I'll turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee. This leave but a sixth part of thee was slipped in by a Roman Catholic priest in the American Bible Society. Can give you his name if you're interested. He put a lot of stuff in the Latin Bible from which the King James is taken. But you don't leave any of them. All of them. This does not destroy the people of Russia. It only destroys those that come to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. But with the destruction of the main forces of their army, then the revolt will occur within Russia, and that's the end of Russia. Poland will revolt, East Germany will revolt, Romania, Bulgaria, all the way around the line, that's the end of that. That'll be the end of that. That's what's going to happen. We'll see that in a minute over in Isaiah. And will cause thee to come up out of the northern parts and bring thee up on the mountains of Israel. There she will come. And I will smite the bow out of the left hand, I'll cause the arrow to fall out of your right hand, and you shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and a double L, not a sixth part left, all of thy band. And the people that are with thee, and I will give thee unto the ravenous birds and all sorts of the beasts of the field to be devoured. And thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And when God said it's going to happen that way. And I will send a fire upon Magog and him that dwell carelessly in the islands. That's apparently the islands out in the Mediterranean where the Russians had large stockpiles of armaments. Pat Robertson believes this, and it may be true, that all of that Mediterranean area and over there lays on a fault line. And he's convinced that the islands over there will be destroyed by fire as that whole area erupts. And he believes also that the fire and brimstone up here, the destruction is also volcanic eruption. Could be God's in charge of that program, too. But, and if that's so, it can fit right in with the Jupiter effect of 1982. And I will set fire upon those that live carelessly or think they're safe and they will know that I am the Lord. That's the third time he said that. So I will make my holy name known in my people of Israel, and I will not let them pollute. Now, this is beautiful. I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Fourth time he said that. And on new paragraph, verse 8. Behold, it's time, it's done. This battle's all over. The Lord said it's done. I want you to see something now, right now. Is there any question in your mind that this was a blood and guts battle? None at all. Very clear. It's a blood and guts battle. But over here, the evil plan to come against the United States and Canada, that never came to pass. This one did. Their faith said, "Behold, it's come, it's done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken." This invasion of the United States never came off. Because an interesting thing happened to Russia on the way to the United States. They stopped off in the Middle East and got clobbered. The reason I tell you that, because a few years ago, everybody was sending me tapes all over the country by a couple of troops, a couple of young men up in the Chicago area that set off in a kitchen somewhere and prophesied themselves into a storm. And said the United States was going to be invaded from the west coast by the Chinese and on the east coast by the Russians, and that would be the end of the United States, and it was going to occur the first day of July, 1979. Well, everybody sent me those tapes, and I had the mimeograph up and answer. The answer was just very simple. They didn't give you a single chapter and verse in the Bible. They just told you that God spoke to them and said it. And besides, when it does not come to pass, then you know you found a couple of more false prophets. Period. One of them is recanted, I understand. I don't know what happened to the other one. Anything as important as that, you'll find chapter and verse for it. So it didn't happen, ain't going to happen. It's come, it's done. I've spoken it, and that's today. And there it is again, that day, the one-day war. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel will go forth, and they'll set fire and burn the weapons, both the shield and the buckler, and the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they will burn them with fire for 7 years, or 10, so that they will take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forest. And they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord God. Now, this gets really interesting. Who ever heard about, have you heard that the Russians have a real strong compressed rosin enforced wood, and they're going to make their tanks out of wood so they can do this? Really? Yeah, yeah. That's weird, isn't it? How could they have wooden tanks up here and destroy them with fire and brimstone, and then go out and gather them up and burn them? It wouldn't work. Because if they were made out of wood, they'd all been consumed with the fire and brimstone. Wooden tanks will burn. So all you get is a bunch of ashes. Won't work. If Isaiah ever thought about this, he probably had a problem with it. Thank God he didn't, because it would only be fulfilled in the age in which we live. In fact, Russia is still making their first-line tanks just like ours out of carbon steel. No other way. In fact, if you built one out of wood, you'd never get a soldier into it. Because all you take is a Marine with a cigarette lighter and go burn the whole bunch up with a little starter fluid or a napalm. No, it won't work. Well, it will work today. Joel 2nd chapter verse 30 says, in the last days there will be columns of smoke and fire shaped like palm trees. So we're living in that age. Thermonuclear explosions shaped like palm trees. Of course, he could have told Noah that they're shaped like mushrooms, but old Joel said, what's a mushroom? You know, out in the desert, you don't raise that sort of thing. And actually, a thermonuclear explosion on land looks more like a palm tree than it does a mushroom anyway. It only looks like a mushroom out in the ocean, where you get a lot of steam and other garbage. But anyway, so here the Russians are with all their thermonuclear weapons. They got no people in there anymore. They couldn't get it off. Their antennas are all bent, and their prime movers are all bogged down. And so the Israelis just go out and gather up all this uranium-200 and whatever it happens to be. And all they have to do is reprocess it into sticks or rods or pellets, whichever one fits their reactors. And according to the Hebrew text, they will not need wood or any such thing, any fuel, for 7 years. Do you know where Israel gets most of their atomic energy? I mean, gets most of their electrical energy? From atomic energy. They're not, certainly not going to have oil-fired tanks, not when the Russians... plants when the Russians and the Egyptians control all the oil, that would be real dumb, and the Hebrews are not quite that dumb. Did you know that there are over 300 thermonuclear plants today functioning all over the world, and that France and Russia actually have breeder reactors? And did you know that that's been going on for 25 years and not one person has ever lost their life in a thermonuclear plant? Last year in West Virginia, we killed 228 people in the coal mines. I don't know how many people are killed in the oil fields. In fact, the bumper sticker says that more people have died in Senator Kennedy's car than at Three Mile Island. And that's a fact. If Mary Jo worked at TMI, she'd still be alive. They sold you a bill of goods. Did you know that 2,600 some scientists in the United States, not Jane Fonda and Ramsey Clark, who never finished college, and if they did, it's a liberal arts degree. And I mean liberal in the liberal. But these are scientists, and they all signed a petition pointing out that thermonuclear energy is the safest ecologically and economically way to generate electricity. And the American Medical Association, in their journal a few months ago, said that thermonuclear energy generation is 300 times safer than fossil fuel. We're willing to live with boilers blowing up and killing people. Just face it. Well, why isn't it safe in the United States when it's safe everywhere else? I'll tell you why it isn't. The Rockefellers Rothschild haven't sold all their coal and oil yet at $40 a barrel. So they want you to burn it up, even if it kills all the fish in your lake. 60,000 people die every year from emphysema from blazing fossil fuel. If Jane Fonda and the other Antichrist group really wanted to stop people from getting killed, why don't they start campaigning against cigarettes, where 300,000 Americans died last year with diseases directly related to cigarettes? Why didn't Jane Fonda and Ramsey Clark upset with the 8 million people that were killed in South Vietnam and Cambodia? They were upset with a couple of hundred that were killed when we were bombing the jungle. I'll tell you why. They have the same spirit that Russia has. It's called Antichrist. Well, enough of that. Let's go. Now, see, it's very interesting. God knew these weapons, and God had to show Ezekiel, just like he did Isaiah. It's funny. Can you imagine Ezekiel seeing a tank and then trying to describe it? No, God thought him heavily armored horses. Isaiah saw them, and you'll find it in Isaiah 19, that he saw heavily armored horses, but when they ran, they didn't sound exactly like horses. They sounded as a chariot running on stone roads with their feet made of steel. That's as close as you can get to the description of a tank. It squeaks and squawks and bangs and rattles and goes on, and it's not a coincidence that the best tank in the world belongs to Israel, and it's called a chariot. All these little coincidences are something. In fact, the Stony rifle that Rock McNamara wouldn't let us have and that we wanted, guess who's making it today? Israel. Israel produces one-third of all the export weapons in the world today. And all of their weapons are battle-proven. You know they'll work. Joel is an interesting one. In Joel 2nd chapter, verse 4 and 5, he saw these heavily armored horsemen leaping from one mountaintop to another. I was born on a ranch out in West Texas, and I've had some horses that could jump pretty high, and I always went higher. So I convinced them all to have one of those weird pummel saddles where you could lock your knees and then you can't get rid of your quite so easy. But anyway, but they made unusual sounds. They leaped from one mountaintop to another, but they sounded like many forest fires. Have you ever heard of fire? Crack, bang, whop, boom, bang. Sound like a helicopter firing its weapon. The tree will explode and go rip. And a lot of them going on sound like a helicopter. Whop, 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 whop. So Joel was seeing horses leaping from one mountaintop to another, heavily armed, but they sounded like many forest fires. Joel 2nd chapter, verse 4 and 5. So he simply showed them in weapons they'd understand. Bows, arrows, all that stuff. Now let's go on. We're down to verse 11, new paragraph. We're about to wind up. And it shall come to pass in that day, here it is, that one day again, that I will give of God the place in the grave of the passenger, the valley of the passengers. Now, passenger today would be translated transient or tourist, sightseers. To the east of the sea, that place is it there, and it shall, they shall stop their noses, you know, burnt off on Jesus' feet, of the transient, the sightseers, the tourists, and there shall go and bury Gog and Abel, all his multitudes, not a six-part left, and they will call it the Valley of Haman Gog, so it's even named ahead of time. And for 7 months as to the house of Israel shall bury them, and they will cleanse the land. And yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be a renown or a remnant of that day. That I was glorified, saith the Lord God. That's the fifth and last time, five the number of days, God said it five times. And they shall separate out men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the sightseers. This becomes quite a tourist attraction. You might want to make your reservations at the end of 1982. That's about when it's going to happen. Holiday Inn will probably have a hotel there. And they remain upon the face of the land and cleanse it, and at the end of the 7 months they shall search. And the transient to the sightseers that pass through the land, when they see a man's bone, they will set up a sign by it. You'll be given a little flag or a little sign, and if you don't want to bring the home bone, home for a souvenir, you can put a flag by it, and the buriers will come bury it later on. Till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Haman Gog, and also the name of the city shall be Hamanoth. Thus they will cleanse the land. Now we'll end with the next verse. New paragraph, verse 17. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and every beast of the field. And this is what he used to say. Assemble yourselves and come and gather yourselves to every side to my sacrifice, God's sacrifice, which I do sacrifice for you. And I'm sure the Russians and the Greeks were birds. Hallelujah. Well, if you're wondering what's going to happen to the settlement that you hear a lot in the news today, the last two verses of Amos tell you. And I will bring again the people of Israel out of their captivity, and they will build the waste cities, and they shall inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, and they'll drink the wine thereof. You know it takes a long time from the time you plant a vineyard until you begin to get wine, so they're going to be there a while. They shall make gardens, and they'll eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, and he signed it, the Lord thy God. Isaiah 19:24 says the same thing. Now let's look at Isaiah 19, the last three or four verses. Isaiah 19, beginning at verse 22, and you want to go back and read the rest of it, it talks about the Aswan Dam and all the Great Pyramid and all of that is in the earlier part of Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19, verse 22, and the Lord shall smite Egypt. He did in about four wars, definitely clobbered them in 1973. He shall smite and heal it. He's healing Egypt today. Egypt is becoming a great nation. And they shall return even to the Lord. How does that grab you? The Egyptians are going to return to the Lord. And he shall increase them, and he shall heal them. I want to tell you just a little side thing. Don't have time to tell you all about it, but a young man who came to the United States way back in the late 50s out in California, going to the University of Southern California, and he heard about a weird outfit called Full Gospel Bringing Home Fellowship International. And he went over and he got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the Deputy Prime Minister of Egypt today. And they asked Demas to carry over and represent the United States during the time that they turned Mount Sinai and the Sinai Desert back to Egypt. And Demas Kikarian has a letter from Anwar Sadat giving us permission to establish a chapter in Cairo and Alexandria. Glory.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.